And here is a song that's in heavy rotation today. We may think we know the man who wrote the lyrics to the Star Spangled Banner. Francis Scott Key wrote it as he watched the British bomb Fort McHenry during the Battle of Baltimore in the War of 1812. But did you know that he was out on the water with the British because President James Monroe gave him permission to sail out to try to rescue a friend who'd been kidnapped by the Brits? And that while he speaks of the land of the free, Key was also a slave owner. Most men of means were at that time in the South. But he was also a lawyer who defended a slave's right to freedom, and he was part of a movement to return slaves to Africa. And after writing the song that's being sung all across the country today, Francis Scott Key never really paid much attention to it. Mark Leibson tells the story in his book, What So Proudly We Hailed, Francis Scott Key, A Life. He spoke to Robin Young in 2014.
Let's just set aside the song for a minute because that's just a small part of Francis Scott Key's story. He's a prominent lawyer, a friend to presidents, especially Andrew Jackson. He becomes very involved, as you would as a prominent person in the South in that day, in slavery. He owns slaves, but as a lawyer, he defends them in court. He also was a prominent figure in something called the American Colonization Society. This was a society devoted to sending free blacks back to Africa. Very controversial because at first blush, it felt like a liberation movement, but others thought it wasn't. Explain.
He was strongly against slave trafficking. You know, slavery was legal in the United States, but slave trafficking had been made illegal in 1808. But it was still going on. And Key and others who started the Colonization Society believed that one of the things that would come out of that would be the end to slave trafficking. They also believed that it would, quote unquote, civilize Africa. You know, and it was controversial. The abolitionists hated the idea of colonization.
Well, let's just take a second. Explain why. They felt it was like a false front, that it was actually a group that just didn't want blacks living among whites in America.
That's correct. That was the main abolitionist complaint about the Colonization Society, that it was a movement to rid the nation of free blacks. One of the stated goals was it would help end slavery as well. They would convince slave owners to let their slaves go and they would be shipped back to Africa. And the sad truth is that, you know, it started in 1816. It went right up through into the Civil War. And they only sent about 15,000 people over to what became the colony and then the nation of Liberia, which was not a large number when you consider that when the Civil War started, there were about 4 million enslaved Americans.
Well, in knowing all of this, and we've really distilled it quite a bit, but he had such interaction with African Americans. He freed some of his own slaves and but didn't free others. And what does he say, looking at his writing, Star Spangled Banner, through that prism of slavery, what do you see him saying?
It's a complex issue because he had the deserved reputation in Washington of representing free blacks and slaves in the courts for free. and which he did his entire life. And that was controversial on the other side. And so he was known for that, and he was really was an ardent opponent of slave trafficking. Also, we might mention that he was extremely pious individual. He almost went into the Episcopal priesthood.
Well, slavery comes up directly in the third verse of the song. It's a reference to his displeasure that the British encouraged escaped slaves to join their cause. During the War of 1812, Key writes, "No refuge," meaning with the British, "could save the hireling and slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave." In other words, you know, you can join the British if you want, but that's not going to help you. But he also speaks of free men, and he's not meaning free black men. Let's listen. We heard a woman sing the Star Spangled Banner before a Memorial Day event, and she sings the fourth and final verse. Let's listen.
"Between their loved homes and the war's desolation, blessed with victory and pride, may our heaven rescued land praise the power that had made and preserved us a nation."
And again, through the eyes of someone today, it is a little jarring to hear someone speak of free men and know that there's a population that isn't free, but he lives in a different time.
That's correct. I mean, you can't judge this through mm-hmm. 21st century eyes. On the other hand, there are some universal feelings going on here. We know the line from the first verse, "the land of the free and the home of the brave." Mm. You know, how ironic is that when it didn't apply to a large segment of the population? So, yeah, I mean, the whole question of slavery, you can't get around it when you're dealing with the early republic.
Well, meanwhile, to the song that he writes, it was one of many popular American songs during Francis Scott Key's lifetime, during the Civil War, as you write. It became the unofficial national anthem of the North. Then it started to really grow. When did it become, you know, something that was heard at ceremonies and baseball games?
Right. Well, that didn't happen until the early 20th century. I mean, the momentum for the Star Spangled Banner to become the national anthem started growing in the last part of the 19th century. And it picked up in the early 20th century. The military, the Army, and the Navy used it as their official national anthem about that time. And it started being played at baseball games in the early part of the 20th century. And there were several bills in Congress throughout the years that were put in to make the Star Spangled Banner the national anthem. They didn't go anywhere until 1931, when the American Legion and the Veterans of Foreign Wars spearheaded a campaign to make that song national anthem. And they had hearings on Capitol Hill. They brought in a singer. And it, you know, the same arguments that you sometimes hear today, you know, difficult to sing. Don't ever start on a high note or you'll be sunk. You know, it's a song about war. Do we want a national anthem that's about war? It ends with a question. Do we want a song that ends with a question? It's anti-British. And, you know, by 1930, the British were one of our best friends. And there were other songs that were out there, America the Beautiful for one, Battle Hymn of the Republic, that were in competition. But these hearings on Capitol Hill swayed the Congress, and Congress passed a resolution that President Hoover signed into law in 1931.
Well, and what are we to think of the man who wrote the song? He seemed good, but complicated, but maybe complicated in the way that Americans were in the time of slavery.
I would go along with that. Yeah, he was an honest, pious man who was a family man, who held strong principles. And yes, I would agree with that.
Mark Leibson talking about his book, What So Proudly We Hailed, Francis Scott Key, A Life. He spoke to Robin Young back in 2014. His latest book is Ballad of the Green Beret, The Life and Wars of Staff Sergeant Barry Sadler. This is Here and Now.